joining me to break it down and what he's looking at for tonight's game. I have down on my sheet of paper, it's Wesley Cheng, great guy, but I also have that your title is a TSN Edge betting guru. Is that on your business card, betting guru, and how do you become a guru of betting, Wesley?
That is a fantastic title to be handed on pen and paper there. I'll absolutely take it. So no career path to give you any tidbits on how to get there, but sure, betting guru. Yeah, why not?
Dude, it's better than Mike Myers in the, what was it, the love guru? I like betting guru. And you can follow Wesley at Cheng Wesley. Thanks for jumping on board. 3.5 tonight. I love the Warriors in this game. There's only so much Luka can do here. What's your take on this? Where are your leans heading into tonight's game?
Yeah, Gareth, it's a great point. I think Dallas responded really well in an elimination game at home. They shot the lights out, which was great to see for them. Three-point variance has been a really big part of the narrative for this series. Dallas shooting the most three-pointers in NBA history. I think the big takeaway for me here is that Golden State's had this really good track record at home during the playoffs this year. They're undefeated at home. They're 8-0. The teams that have come in playing against them are 2-6 against their team total with any game played at Chase Center. So my lean is to bet the Warriors, but specifically to bet Dallas's team total and to bet the under, thinking that if there's one thing the Warriors do a really good job of at home, obviously scoring, they get all the attention in the world for it, but their defense has been really underrated. And that's usually what they do a great job of, clamping down in San Francisco.
Yeah. Golden State 4-1 against the spread in their last five games. Coming into this series, one of the talking points was going to always be perimeter defending. And these are two elite teams in terms of perimeter defense in the NBA. But when you have Steph and Klay and Poole on one side and Doncic and a lot of guys who are just chucking up threes for the Mavs, sometimes successfully. I mean, when they've been successful, they've been hitting those shots. If not, man, when they've been ice cold. Just what do you make of that heading into tonight's game? It just seems like there's strength in numbers for the Warriors, even if Otto Porter doesn't go tonight for the Dubs.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway is that Dallas's offense is more one-dimensional than what Golden State's been able to achieve. Both great three-point shooting teams. Dallas is very much living and dying by the three ball, whereas Golden State's done a lot of damage in the paint. The Mavericks don't really have a rim protector, and Golden State, very good at kind of zigging when everyone else zags. They have the shooters, but the three-point volume is actually very, it's way lower than usual in this series versus what they regularly shoot. They're just going where the Mavericks are the weakest, and it's in the paint, and they're getting a lot of buckets. So they're shooting almost 60% from twos.
I just reading a piece up on ESPN, like Kerr and the Warriors. It's a Kevin Arnovitz article, and some people are trying to compare Luka Doncic to primetime James Harden. I don't think it's like for like, Wesley, unless you can maybe clarify anything that you see or maybe the underlying numbers. I don't know. It's because James Harden, whenever playoff basketball came around, would fold up like a cheap suit. Luka's not that guy. He's still young. He's, in fact, putting his team on his back. Like, he has been that good and continues to be. And he's not even playing at 100%. Like, you know, maybe stylistically speaking, there are some similarities, but I don't know. Making a comparison between these two players, for me at least, couldn't be the furthest from the truth.
Well, I know why they're doing it. It's the isolation. It's how ball dominant both of their offensive games are. Now that I say it out loud, it kind of sounds outrageous to say, oh, this guy's better than James Harden, who is an MVP. But I think Luka Doncic is clearly a better playoff performer than Harden. And
and
he's only 23. And hands down, I feel very strongly that Luka is a different tier when you're talking about playoff clutch ability. Whereas Harden, he was a regular season MVP, all the credit to him. But we're kind of watching Luka butt into this, perennial superstar MVP candidate for years to come.
Right. Lastly on this game, because I want to ask you about Lowry and the Heat, whether they're done and dusted. Klay Thompson has been an underplay this entire series. You know, like, he just has. He's really not a focal point of this offense. What do you make of Klay's numbers and the role that he can play tonight? I know it's not game number six, but it's game number five. Do we see a different Klay tonight?
I was literally going to suggest betting on Klay, part of one of our hits that we have for today. But I stayed away from it just because the Warriors' offense has actually been very, like, evenly distributed during this series. And so that's basically what it comes down to. Klay's not even playing bad. Klay is actually shooting rather efficiently. He's a little off from three, and that's fair. But from the field, he's still shooting 47%, which is very good for his standards based off the shots he takes. I wouldn't touch that line at all. His point prop is at 18.5. A good thing to point out, that's the lowest number Klay's points prop has been set at the entire playoffs. So you're kind of being dared to bet the over. I get why the books are doing that, but at the same time, I just don't think there's enough certainty in taking that in this spot where I would take the over. And at the same time, I wouldn't dare the number. I don't like betting under 18.5. I think he can clear that. My big thing I love to see from these guys, I want to see them put the clamps on. I want to see them really force Dallas into some shots that they might not be comfortable doing. This whole series, they've been shooting threes, right? And it's kind of been the narrative. I want to see Golden State really kind of shake them off their game plan and see if the Mavericks have enough versatility to be able to adjust to seeing a new look for the first time in the series.
Right. Correction, it's Warriors -7 tonight at -105. I think I like him at almost any number, to be honest with you.
I get it.
Yeah, Wes, what, anything else in this game, Wesley, that's caught your eye?
No, I think we covered it all. Yeah, it's pretty much the storyline.
Then let's skip to the Eastern Conference. It's just a matter of when, not if, the Celtics are going to go on and win this series. Like, Kyle Lowry with one of those Sam Mitchell 0-0-0-0 lines last night. He's too hurt. His hamstring's bummed. Jimmy Butler's knee is done. Struess is hurt. Tucker's hurt. Like, Celtics are an 8.5-point favorite ahead of tomorrow night's Game 6. How high does that number need you to go to not bet the Celtics in this one?
You know, it's a good question. It opened at 9. It's now dropped back to 8.5. So that gives you an idea. It tells you kind of how outrageous people feel that number probably was. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of recency bias that comes with how the lines are being set. Miami does look really banged up. And the two things I pointed out earlier this week, number one was reminding people Miami's the second oldest team in the NBA. So their guys just, you know, take longer to kind of deal with some of the wear and tear that comes with a long playoff run like the Miami Heat are going through. And then, I mean, specifically, let's look at Lowry. You know, I feel terrible for him because, you know, he's eating a lot of the slander that's out there. But we all know he's playing through this injury. He's not 100%. And, you know, he's doing everything in his power to probably try to give something. But, you know, the eyes tell you what they tell you. He's just not right. So I feel bad for him, obviously. And in this spot, I think Boston is just a healthier team.
Yeah.
Even Marcus Smart came back and played after rolling his ankle the way that he did. So it just, you know, it doesn't feel like the stars are aligned for Miami here. It's a shame because both these teams are extremely sound defensively when they're at their best. You can just tell even Jimmy Butler, he doesn't have his lift.
No.
And when Jimmy can't get going and Tyler Hero's not even in the game, the scoring really starts to deplete for the Heat.
I know that they're being applauded for not making any excuses, but these are reasons, like legitimate reasons. Like, not everyone's a Michael Jordan or a Paul Pierce that, you know, can bounce back from sickness and injuries, and their games kind of function that way. Lowry's body type, Wesley, it doesn't work, and his game doesn't work when he's dealing with this kind of injury. It just doesn't. You know, you feel for him. Full credit for trying to gut it out, but, man, if I'm Eric Spoelstra, I can't play him. I just can't play him in Game 6.
Yep, that's part of the NBA. That's part of any playoff run, right? It's a battle of attrition. It's who's the last man standing, right? So Miami, unfortunately, just doesn't have enough full bodies, healthy bodies to really be able to compete. But I do think Boston ultimately does win it. I think they get it done.
Sure,
you know, next game.
Let's just hope Warriors win tonight. Celtics win tomorrow night, rest up, get Williams Smart as healthy as can be, and have a really good final. Like, good start to the playoffs, just like it benefited the Raptors when they won in 2019. Just injuries are a real factor. They're a real reason between success and failure. Enjoy it, Wesley. Thanks for your insight. At Chang Wesley to follow along. The betting guru at TSN Edge joining us here on Gameplay. Thanks for this, pal.
Hey, Gareth, appreciate it.